It's quite good to be reminded, isn't it, that although we have been through some very difficult times, very different times over the last 20 months or so, others have had it far worse. And if ever there was a time for Christian folk to be demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit, it is now. Galatians 5:24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we know this morning, we're dealing with peace. And if I was to ask you what peace means to you, we'd probably have as many different answers as there are folk here. Following lockdown, most mums would have said peace was having the children go back to school. But for me, that kind of peace was during lockdown, because we have Jumpstart just over our fence. And when lockdown was coming to an end, I was feeling somewhat apprehensive about the children coming back again. But the high-pitched squealer had moved on to school. Sorry, Spotswood Primary, sorry. When Andrew asked me which fruit of the Spirit that I wanted to preach on, I chose peace. And it was not because I was experiencing it, far from it. During the past 2 years, four of our family and a little extended family have been diagnosed with five different types of cancer. Jeff was diagnosed with Parkinson's. A grandson, while mountain biking in Western Australia, had an accident and was flown to Perth Hospital with a bleeding kidney. My girls in England have all been going through very stressful times at work. One of them is still working 12 to 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. Another of our girls was trying to do her full-time job plus the full-time work of two of her assistants while homeschooling her 6-year-old and supervising her 12-year-old with his education. Another daughter who works in a private school due to staff shortages was working very long hours. And she told me last Sunday that there are five of their teaching staff and one of the kitchen staff, all double vaccinated, all off with COVID, as are a number of the children at the school. But of course the school doesn't close down because they've moved past that in England. Because of travel restrictions, it's been 2 years since we were able to see our children or grandchildren face to face or to hug them. It's been a hard time, and at times I've felt quite overwhelmed. So getting to study peace has helped get me grounded again, and I hope with what I have relearned may be of some help to you. Our peace is often about absence. It's the absence of noise, disturbance, stress, fear, trouble, conflict, violence, war. God's peace is not the peace of absence, but the peace of presence. God's unfailing presence in every moment of our lives. Nothing in the world can ever take it away from us. It is a peace of conquest. No experience of life can take it from us. No sorrow, no danger, no suffering can make it less. It's independent of outward circumstances. All true peace of mind, body, and spirit is a gift of God. Stillness, calmness, and trust, no matter the circumstances. Close on 40 years ago, I found myself in Auckland Hospital. We were living in Hamilton at the time, with one child at high school, two at intermediate, one at primary school, and one at kindergarten. The three older children had left for school when I felt something really strange going on in my head, and I sat down before I fell down. I came to hearing our youngest child saying, "Don't do that, Mummy. Don't do that, Mummy. Don't do that." Fortunately, Jeff's mum was there, and she managed to get hold of Jeff, who took me to the doctor, who sent me straight to Waikato Hospital. Within 24 hours, I was transferred to the neurological ward in Auckland Hospital. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been in a ward where the feet face the wall and your heads, the back of your head, faces the middle of the room, which I guess is sensible when they're dealing with head cases. With grandparents looking after the children, Jeff was able to come up and be with me. He was sitting beside me, holding my hand and rubbing his thumb over mine. And a nurse came up and said, "Mr. Miller, don't do that. You mustn't do anything to stimulate your wife." She moved on, and the surgeon came. He introduced himself to Jeff. He apologized that there would be a delay because the angiogram machine had broken down, and there were quite a lot of people waiting, and I had to wait my turn because I had to have an angiogram before they could do any surgery. And Jeff said, "Well, what if she has another brain bleed in the meantime?" And he said, "Well, it's unlikely to happen, but if it does, it could mean death or severe brain damage." Now, what had the nurse said? "Don't rub your thumb over your wife's hand in case you overstimulate her." The surgeon walked on. Jeff said, "Look, don't worry. I've got all bases covered. I rang Trish, so you've now got the Catholics as well as the Baptists praying for you." Shortly after, it was the end of the visiting, and Jeff left. But I was conscious of somebody hovering close by my bed. It was somebody who had been visiting the next person. And as she walked past, she said, "I really don't know how you can lie there so peacefully." She had obviously heard what the surgeon had said. That peace can only have come from God, the peace of the presence of God. Now, all fruit of the Spirit are characteristics of God, seen in our lives, not just for our benefit, but to show God to the world. And all are interconnected. We cannot have peace if any of the others are missing. Each one is part of another, part of a whole. Lose one, we lose the lot. You can't experience peace when at odds with other people, when feeling angry, impatient, unkind, or losing self-control. All true peace of mind, body, and spirit is a gift of God, as is each of the fruit of the Spirit. But gifts need to be accepted and utilized. Only 20 more sleeps till Christmas, when we will wake up to the excitement of exchanging gifts as we celebrate the birth of Jesus at that very first Christmas. Hopefully, they will be gifts accepted, enjoyed, and utilized. If you wouldn't mind, thank you. When I was a teenager, I was given a gift. It was a tea set belonging to my grandmother's grandmother. Gran's cousin had brought it over from Australia because she had no children of her own, so she gave it to me. I think I might have been about 18 at the time. After checking to see what was in the box, everything was put back in. It was a box about this size with quite a lot in it. Everything put back in the box, and it was put away until after I was married. Then it was taken out of that box, and it was placed in a cupboard. And there it remained. Until one day, I was having friends around, and I thought, I'll get out the tea set. Now, it's so old, it doesn't have a maker's name on it. It just has three tiny wee gold dots in a triangle. Well, one of my friends came out to help me with morning tea. She picked up a cup and she said, this is very beautiful, but it must be very old. I said, well, it belonged to my great-great-grandmother. She very carefully put it back on the saucer and said, can I have a coffee mug? So we all had coffee mugs, and the set went back in the cupboard where it has remained ever since. And now with a bit of arthritis in my hands and a ceramic tile kitchen floor, I'm even more reluctant to use it. But no, that's not why it was given. Precious gifts are given to be accepted, admired, but something more. They are to be utilized. And that is even so much more when we're talking about the gifts that God gives us. Looking at a number of Bible verses, it becomes quite clear that the gift of peace relies on trust, an essential in a right relationship with God through Jesus. Praying about something and then immediately taking it back and worrying it to death is not how we retain the peace of God. We need to trust him to deal with it in his way and in his time. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, we read, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and don't forget to thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. John 14:1, Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Trust, that is essential in our relationship. In John 14:17, he says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. The Living Bible puts that, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled and afraid. John 16, verse 33, he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. As I woke yesterday, I could hear the heavy rain falling. I knew it was morning because despite dark clouds and rain, the light from the hidden sun still shone through, lighting up the room. And even in the dark times in our lives, we can still experience the radiance of God, the peace of his presence shining through our darkness. The Bible talks of three different types of peace. There's eternal peace, which is peace with God. And it comes from knowing that through Jesus, we have a relationship with God who loves, cares, protects, forgives, and promises us eternal life. Then there's internal peace. And it's Jesus who gives us this peace, a sense of calm in our thoughts, our emotions, and in our actions. And the third is external peace. Peace is what Jesus gives in our relationship with others. So if we have peace with God, we will be at peace with ourselves, enabling us to be at peace with others. But how do we keep hold of this peace? Remember the words of Isaiah, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." The Living Bible says, "He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord." So if we start each day with God, the peace experience then will radiate outwards for the rest of the day as we pass on peace to others. Living in harmony with one another, helping others to live in harmony, not causing dissension, but causing unity, building relationships, building community, building the kingdom. Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." The peace of his presence. He is not only the hope and joy of Christmas, but he is also our Prince of Peace. I'd like to finish with a blessing for you. And now may God's Spirit surround you and those you love. Rest now in that calm embrace. Let your heart be warmed and all storms be stilled by the whisper of his voice. Amen.